everybody, and welcome to my podcast, Fulfillment in Faith. I am your host, Shannon Bondor, and I am a best-selling author, mentor, mindset and manifesting coach, and public speaker. Today's episode is a continuation of my series, You Are Not the Only One. I was brought forth to do this series because during my healing from my addiction to alcohol, there were so many times that the universe had brought me to silence. And during those times is when I learned so many things about myself and I was guided. I was guided to talk openly about my past, my abuse, my addiction, and to speak my truth. From those moments of silence is when we learn, we grow, we teach, and then we help others. Today, my special guest is Tarona Perkins. I want to welcome you, Tarona. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
I am doing absolutely wonderful. So what I want to do is I want you to just tell the audience here a little bit about yourself, like where you're from. And then after that, if you just want to go right into your story of what brought you to where you are today, that time of stillness where the universe and you connected and what took you on your journey. How does that sound?
That sounds great.
Okay, there we go, girl.
Okay, I'm from Dallas, Texas. I'm a little country girl. I grew up in an environment where abuse was always around. Through my grandparents, through my aunts and uncles, through my parents. So I grew up thinking that in order for you to express love and to love someone and for someone to love you back, that abuse had to be involved. You know, that was like the norm for me. So once I got in an abusive relationship term marriage, you know, I thought this was the norm. This is how you express love for each other. You know, you argue, you fight, you make up and everything's fine and dandy, and that's how it continues to go, right? Until I became a mother, it became different for me because I started to realize this is not what this is supposed to be. This doesn't feel good, nor do I want this for my girls. I ended up having two beautiful girls, and so I became a more of a protective mom, you know? So as long as he was attacking me, I felt like I was protecting the girls from being in the way of being abused because I was abused by my father as well as my husband. So I didn't want my girls to have to experience that. And so, you know, a lot of times we get stuck in these situations and you're putting on this mask that everything in your home is fine and dandy when it really is not. So outside of the home, we were the perfect family. Inside the home, I was in hell, you know. And so, you know, I hid it from my parents, my friends, you know, everyone, black eyes and everything. I would put makeup on, you know, just mandated myself. And then I began to, you know, indulge in eating foods. And I just continued to gain weight because I was depressed and, you know, suffering from what I grew up thinking love was to really knowing this is not it. This can't be what God says love is because this is painful. This is agony. This is torture. And every time I would get ready to leave, you know, he would promise he would never do it again. And you know how we are women. Okay. As long as you don't do it again, you know, we give him chance after chance after chance after chance. And this one particular day, that I got my breakthrough was he had took off with one of the girls. And my daughter at the time, she was 2 years old. And I didn't know what she was. And that mother instinct, you know, kicked in. And I'm like, forget about you. Where's my child? You know, and that was when I first got on my knees. And I prayed to God and I just asked him, I was like, Lord, if you please bring my daughter back, you know, I promise I'll leave at this situation. And, you know, you get in these situations, you make your promises to God thinking, you know, you get me out of this, I won't do this anymore. Or if you save me for this, it's like, you know, we pay, you know, a tit for tat with God. And my daughter, he brought my daughter back, and to find out that my husband, who was on drugs, had told my daughter to go in the house, not even remembering that I'm at work. And she was 2 years old. She could have been killed. She could have been, the lady that found her told me that she saw her walking down the street trying to flag down cars. And, this lady could have took off with my child and raised her as her own. So many things could have happened. But thank God that they didn't. And when I got her back, I asked her, I was like, Desiree, what happened? Like, where's your dad? And she was like, he put me out on the side of the street and told me to go in the house. And I became so angry that I was like, I'm gonna kill him, Like, this is, I can't do this anymore. So it was at that moment when he came home, I snapped. And I beat him senseless, and that little voice, God was like, that's enough. And so I took off running and he started chasing me. And I'm like, it's either gonna be you or it's gonna be me at this moment. And I chose myself, but I was so angry with God because I was like, why would you allow this to happen? Why would you allow me to continue to go through this situation of abuse, of hurt? Everyone around me is hurting me physically, mentally, emotionally. Like, I'm just able to, why are you allowing all these things to happen to me? And do you hate me that much? Like, I felt like God has turned his back on me. And I felt so alone. And life happens, and God has a way of bringing you back to things and to choices you made. And he was just like, I gave you everything you prayed for. You never prayed for to get you out of this situation. You only prayed for him. You prayed for me to bring him home safely. You prayed for him just to come home. You never prayed for yourself. And it was at that moment when I was like, wow, I really didn't. I didn't pray for myself. When my father was abusing me, I didn't pray for God to help me to get out of the situation. I just prayed for him to stop doing it, never about myself. And so, at that moment, I was just angry and just basically just forgot about God. I was mad at him, and that's just what that was. Well, a couple of weeks later, my ex-husband had pressed charges on me, assault charges, for beating him, which made me even more mad because I'm like, the one time I decide to fight back, you want to press charges, So I was even more angry at God. Like, okay, and you're allowing him to get away with this. And then so I end up going to jail. And I'm fighting for my case, and I'm like, well, it's self-defense, I'm going back and forth. No man is trying to hear anything I have to say, so I'm in here fighting for my life. And at this moment, he has my kids. So now I'm really terrified because I'm like, what if he's abusing them? What if he's hurting them and I'm not there? And, it was just a humbling part because, when God wants your attention, he's gonna sit you down. And that's what he did. He sat me down and he just made me just reflect on everything that has happened. And he was just like, either you're going to choose me or you're not. And at this point, I didn't realize that, my children have become my idol in my life. Nobody loved them more than me. Nobody could protect them more than me. They were mine. And not know, God was like, I gave them to you. Everything, you're taking care of everybody else. You've forgotten about me. You put me to the back burner. And what are you going to do? Are you going to serve me or are you not? So it's like I went through all of this. I got a lawyer who was adamant against women. He hated women at this point. And I didn't understand why. Because I was like, I've never been in trouble before. You're not fighting for me. And he was like, I don't care. They can give me 5 years. I don't care. So I'm going back and forth with him, and then God tells me to write him a letter. he's hurting. And I was like, I don't care that he's hurting. I'm hurting too. You know, like look at where I'm at. I'm at this. And God is like, no, I need you to write him a letter and tell him that you're sorry for what he's going through, but you need him to help you. So I was adamant. Like I went a week or two before I decided to write this letter. So I wrote him this letter and I sent it to him. And then I was like, I don't, and here I am battling again with God. I don't know why you told me to write that. He doesn't care about what happens to me. And I'm tired of being in here. Like, you know, I'm frustrated at this point because it's been like 6 months and we have not gotten along. I haven't been anything like everything. I don't know nothing that's going on. I'm just sitting here. So I'm just like pissed off at this point. And I get a visit. They're like, Tony, you got a lawyer visit. And I'm like, oh my God. So I go and I don't care what's about to come out of his mouth because I know it's about to be an argument because that's all we do. And he tells me, you know, I got your letter and I just wanted to apologize to you. You know, I'm sorry that I haven't been fair to you. I've actually been going through a divorce. And I was just mind blown because I didn't know that's what he was going through. And he couldn't wrap his thoughts on how to help me because he was going through his own situations. And, you know, God just made me just be obedient in that moment. And I told him, I said, you know, I forgive you. Let's just move forward. But I need you to fight for me like if this was your life, you know. And he didn't even have realized that I had been in jail that long. He was like, it's been 6 months. I was like, yeah, and counting. And he was like, I'm so sorry. I'll get with you know, the DA and I'll come back and I'll see you in about a couple weeks. And I was like, okay. So I go back and I'm happy and I'm like, okay, God, you know, I got some positive news, you know, thank you. Well, then they move me to the trustee tank. And I'm like, wait a minute. Only trustees are people who's already signed for time or that are going to be here for a long time. I haven't even went to court or nothing. So I don't know why come y'all are moving me to the trustee tank. And they're like, your name is on the list. You're going.
I just have a question for you. I am just shocked that they left you in jail for 6 months.
6 months.
That is shocking.
And what's so crazy is within that 6 months, I kept moving because the jail was overcrowded. So whenever it's overcrowded, they move you to like another jail. So I was going from like hours from away from my family, 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours away, staying 2 weeks, 3 weeks at a time. Just kind of, so I was like, what is going on? What is going on?
That to me just blows me away. And there's been other guests that I've talked to that have been put in jail. And yeah, it's like once you're incarcerated, you're almost, well, you're forgotten.
You are.
And
You're
for
just.
the lawyer to not even care about you, that is what is the most shocking thing ever.
Not. They do not. And what was making me so frustrated is that anytime I would talk to him, he would be like this. Never looking at me. No eye contact. No nothing. And I'm like, dude, listen to what I'm telling you, you know? And so when I moved to the trustee tank, I was adamant because, you know, people didn't make trustee unless you were going to be there for a long time or if you're waiting to go to a bigger jail. You know, they put you over there to because you get double time,
Not
right?
even scarier.
Yeah, I was but then it was a blessing because I got to get out of the cell. So, I mean, I was in 23-hour lockdown for like the first 2 months I was there because everything was full. So I was in a single cell for 2 months. Yeah. And so I was able to, once I got to the trustee, you know, the trustee tank or whatever, the guards was like, you know, you're so sweet. Like, why are you? Why are you in here? And I was like, you know, I was in an abusive situation and I decided to fight back and I ended up here, you know. And so one of the guards were like, well, have you filed for your divorce? And I was like, no. I was like, I can't get a divorce. I don't have any money. And she was like, no, While you're in jail, you can get your divorce for free. I was like, where's the paperwork? Let me. So she goes, I'll go get the paperwork and bring it to you. And, just fill it out and I'll take it over there to the courthouse. So I was so happy. And then she said, well, and I'm gonna also give you a temporary custody. So you can give your mom temporary custody so that your kids can stay with your mom and he can't leave or take them. And I was like, oh my God, thank you. No, thank you so much. And I was just so grateful for that. So then after that, I started, to clean a judge's office, and I really got to know her. We talked a lot, and she was telling me that how many times women get caught up in these situations when they've been asking for help, asking for help, asking for help, and they never get it. And then they get into a snap situation and then they're losing their lives. And I said, well, my thing is, I was like, I've been trying to fight. My lawyer's not helping me. Like, I'm just baffled. And I said, now is I've been in here 8 months now. And I'm like, and Christmas is coming. I've never missed Christmas. I'm not gonna be able to get my kids anything for Christmas. I just never in a million years thought I would be here, right? She goes, go see the chaplain and tell him to put your kids on the wish list. And I was like, the wish list? And she was like, yeah. I was like, okay. So I went down to the chaplain and I put my daughter's name on the wish list. And then he was talking to me and he gave me this book by Max Lucado called He Chose the Nails. And as I read that book, I just surrendered. Because in the book, it talks about Jesus' last hours before he got nailed to the cross. And it was this part where when they stretched his hand out, and as they were hitting his hand with the nail, Jesus was calling out names and was just saying, in the book they were saying like, God forgive Kevin for he doesn't know you, but he wants to know you. But he's saying that all these things, all these names he was calling, and it was such just a moment. I just put myself in that situation and I just said, you know what, Lord, I don't know what you're doing, but all I know is I'm tired. I'm tired of fighting this battle by myself. I'm tired of being in this situation by myself. My way is not working. It's your will. I don't want to be taken away from my kids. You know this and you know that. But I know that whatever the outcome may be, I know that I won't be alone because you've been with me. And I just surrendered at that moment. And I had this white t-shirt because in there, all you can wear is either the uniform you have or you can wear whites. And so I had a white t-shirt on and I had like white boxers. Well, this t-shirt I had on had so many grease stains from the noodles that I would eat, like, ramen noodles. After I finished reading that book and I prayed, that shirt was cleansed. It was just white as if it had just got out of the, I had just bought it out of the store. And I could not believe it. I started asking everybody, I was like, y'all remember my shirt? And they're like, what? When did you wash your shirt? I was like, I didn't wash my shirt. I was like, I was reading this book and I pray. I was just amazed. And it's like, God, let me know that everything is okay, that everything has been, I've been made whole, everything is brand new. So I was just amazed. So at that moment, I was like, whatever happens, I'm good. God has me. Well, then 2 weeks later, my lawyer comes and they're like, well, you have court. And I was like, okay. So I went to court and I was terrified because I didn't go to where I normally go meet my lawyer. I went to the other side of the big court. You know how when you go watch those shows on TV and it has the eagle all on the floor and all and the jury and all. So I'm walking and I'm like, oh my God. Oh my God. Like, because I'm like, oh my God, I'm about to go to jail. Like, I'm gonna go to the big house because I've never seen this. But I was like, Lord, I know that I'm afraid because I don't know what's going on, but I know that you're walking with me. That's all I'm saying. And then my lawyer comes and he's all smiling and everything. And I'm like, I don't know what you're smiling for. Like, what is going on? He was like, everything's gonna be okay. I promise. Everything's gonna be okay. Well, in my head, I'm just praying because I'm like, Lord, I'm terrified. I don't know what's going on. I've never been in this situation before. And so then the judge comes in and she starts talking. But when she starts talking, I automatically look up and it was the judge whose office I have been cleaning for the last 2 months. And I just instantly, like, I'm about to start crying all over again, but
That is so wonderful.
started crying. And she didn't call me by my last name. She called me by my first name. And she said, Toronto, are you ready to go home? And I was like, yes, ma'am. And she was like, I'm dismissing your case and I'm dropping all your charges. And, you know, it was just at that moment that I realized that what was the worst thing of my life was the best thing of my life. And it's that moment that God showed me that if I just keep trusting Him, everything will be okay. And that's what I forgot. I had lost my way. I needed to let go of was let go in that moment of those 8 months that I was there. I was able to get my divorce, which I probably would have never got. I was able to let go of all my anger and frustration towards my father and my ex-husband at that time. I was able to heal. And I was able to actually love myself again and to see clear vision. And I was just so grateful. Like, words cannot express how grateful I was to be able to come out of that and just be made whole. So it prompted me to start my own business, which is called Becoming Her. And Becoming Her is based on how women can take their pain and turn it into purpose. And a lot of times when we're in abuse, we lose ourselves. We don't know who we are. We don't know what we like. We don't know what direction we want to go because all we want is the pain to stop. And to the point where we stop living and we're just living in the moment, like whatever goes, whatever goes. So I wanted women to understand that they didn't have to go through this process by themselves because me, I was alone. I didn't have anyone to talk to. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know about resources. I didn't know none of those things. And so that's why I'm so adamant about my brand is to help the woman love herself unconditionally, no matter what it looks like, to love yourself, no matter what you see in the mirror, to love yourself unconditionally. Whether it be with a fupa, whether it be with your scars, you know, your scars are battle wounds to let you know that you made it through something, that, you know, how you can accept that scar and be like, you know what, thank you, God. The scar is a constant reminder of what you brought me through. And to love every bit of yourself, because a lot of times we lose ourselves, we end up hating ourselves, you know, we resent ourselves and we carry on all this baggage. And I just want women to love themselves. So Becoming Her, that's what that's about, my coaching. And then I have a mentorship program. And I just started my cosmetic line of Becoming Her. And it's lip gloss, lip scrub. It's also eye shadow, mascara. But each item has an affirmation on it. So when you're putting on, let's say, rosy red, that means you are fierce. So whenever you're putting it on, whenever that woman is putting on that rosy red, I want her to look in the mirror and say, I am fierce.
Oh, I love that.
No matter what, I want a woman to be encouraged because a lot of times we don't, you know? So that's what my brand is about. Encouragement, uplifting, and knowing that once you step out that door, no matter what you go, that you hold your head up high, no matter what your past was, no matter how you didn't love yourself, no matter if you gained weight, you lost weight, no matter what, that you are beautiful on the inside and on the outside. So that's what that's about. And I'm so excited about it. I did an anthology this year, which was something I've been wanting to do for the longest, but I'm currently working on my autobiography. And I'm gonna go ahead and tell you the title because nobody knows. First time it's coming out. It's gonna be out before the end of the year. And it's The Rose That Grew From the Concrete.
Oh, beautiful. The rose that grew out of the concrete. Beautiful.
Yes,
Beautiful.
because that's what I feel like that represents me, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. Oh, gosh. You've got such an amazing story.
Thank you so
Oh,
much.
it's now when you look back on what took place, it was all divine guidance, right?
Exactly.
And that's how I look at my life story too. It was all divinely guided right up until today.
Exactly.
And I know going forward, because I trust who I am now, I trust everything that's going on around me. I believe in the universe, God, spirit, whatever you choose to call
Yes.
it. Total, complete faith. I know I'm going to be okay. And to teach other people that, oh, what a gift we have. Oh.
That is the most beautiful thing. When
It's
I have my clients and I see that confidence come out and I see how they love themselves and how they go for their dreams, that is the most beautiful thing I can ever witness. And I'll be so happy to be a part of helping someone become the best version of themselves.
So
To
that,
know.
yeah. So that's where I've got, getting into my questions here because of the journey that you've been on, and you would have learned a lot in that time frame, 8 months total in jail.
Yes.
What you just said, was that the thing that you learned the most on your journey, or is there something even more that you learned personally that you want to share with others?
I think one of the main things that I learned, and I always want somebody to know this, is whenever you don't think God's there, He's there. Never would have thought I would have got that close to God, to be healed and to come out sane for one.
Yeah, oh yeah. Like you would have endured so many different situations in there, exposed to so many different people,
Oh my
like
God.
I'm surprised you didn't come out with PTSD or anything like that. Mental issues. There's so many things that you could have come out with.
One time I got moved, and to go from a single cell to a dorm of 56 to 60 women was mind blowing. There's all these different attitudes, there's all these different emotions, there's all the, it was like mind blowing. But I learned so much about myself. I read so much. I began to pray, and my relationship with God got greater. Like, I grew up in the church. Yes, don't get me wrong. I've always had faith. I didn't go to jail and find faith. I had already had faith. But I learned that you have to be humble. You can't question what's going on. It's just that you have to be like, okay, God, what is it that you need me to learn in this moment? What is my lesson? Who do I need to help? Because 9 times out of 10, when you're on a journey, the journey is not for you. That journey is to prepare you for somebody that God is going to send you. And it was at that point when I had to learn that not to be afraid, because I used to would never tell nobody, oh girl, yeah, I've been to jail. I used to never say that. But when I got to learning that, wow, that wasn't a bad thing. That was like the best thing that God did to save me, because I could have died in the mess that I was already in the abuse. I could have died in the abuse. In the torture, in the licks, getting pushed down the stairs, getting choked, getting stabbed. Like, I could have died in those situations. Why would I not? I got to be transparent, right? So sometimes I had to learn how to accept that. And I think that was one of the biggest lessons that I had to accept the lesson. Even though I didn't like it, like, God, why you had to put me in jail? Oh, but now I understand. Oh, now I understand why you had to do it. Because you had to save me to sit me there to realize what was going on in my life, because I was headed for destruction. And I'm like, okay, well, you loved me enough to sit me down. And then it wasn't even about me. I had to help my lawyer to see that God still loves him too, even though that he was going through a divorce, and to also let him know that he can believe in love again, and not only love again, but to believe in women again. I had that was a lesson. That was my lesson. That was his lesson. But if I wasn't obedient, that could have backfired. So it's just like it's the grace along the things. God allowed me to get close to the judge. We develop a relationship, and the good thing about it is that when I was cleaning her office, I wasn't an inmate. She treated me like a friend, and to know that she went and pulled my case to her courtroom, that right there was grace, and then God knew that I was hurting and disappointment of not being there for my kids. He made a way for them to get, they got so much stuff for Christmas. My mom said they had bags and bags and bags of toys, clothes, books, colors, everything, like 5 or 6 bags each. And that was God letting me know that his word never comes back void. He said I will supply. And he,
Beautiful.
it's just like everything that he did was articulate, but it was a lesson.
Right.
So my lesson is to others is it doesn't matter what your past looked like. Everybody has a past. It's what you do with it.
Totally. Yeah, absolutely. And that's one thing people that are listening to this interview right now that are going through the same situation. The past is your past. You can start fresh. Minute from now, tomorrow when you wake up, tomorrow night, you decide when you can start fresh. That's a
Exactly.
gift. It's called free will. And don't stay stuck in your past. Too many of us stay stuck in our past, right? That's what ends up being our problem.
Exactly. And we don't accept it. You don't accept your past.
You have
Accept your past and move on.
to. Absolutely. So, what is it that you would say to others then?
I would say to others, no matter what it looks like, your past doesn't break you. It makes you, it molds you into the best version of yourself. I have this acronym that I break down for pain. And I tell ladies all the time, the P is for it was a problem, but there's a process to get to your purpose. The A is you have to hold yourself accountable to what you did. But then you got to get into alignment with God. The I is the issue is the introduction to your healing. The N is it was nasty, yeah, but it's necessary in order for you to be able to help someone else.
Absolutely. Very, very good. Oh my gosh. I am so proud of you. And
Thank you.
now I want to know about well, you talked a little bit about where you are now. And now we're getting into the closing of the interview here, for the final words. And this is where everything is going to be put into the podcast notes. So you
Okay.
start the makeup line and your book, your coaching. Tell us all about that, please.
Okay. In my coaching, I have three different courses. One of them is, the destination to becoming her. And that's for you to go through and find out who her is. Who is her in your life? Who is she? So that's what that one's about. The second course is baggage check. What baggage are you holding on that no longer feeds your purpose? And that's about letting go of things. And then the last one is behind the mask. Stop living a masquerade version of yourself. Because when you take off the mask, who's the person underneath? A lot of times we put a mask on because we're trying to have validation from other people. When in beginning, they don't feed our purpose anyway.
So
So
true.
that's what those courses are about. I do have a workbook that's coming out. That should be released at the end of next month. And it's the baggage claim workbook. And, that's like a self-workbook. If they don't want to take the class, they can get the workbook, and, we can do like a one-on-one and go through the workbook. I have, like I said, my autobiography is coming out. I'm so excited about it because, a lot of times you don't want to put everything in there, because you're like, oh my God, people are going to read this. What are they going to think? You know what I'm saying? But then, God is like, let it out.
I'll tell you, my book, I laid it all out on the table. And the funny thing was, is I didn't even lay it out on the table for me. I wanted to lay it out on the table. I never even really thought about me when I wrote my book. My whole purpose and intention was to help others. And that was the key. And I just laid it all out. And let me tell you, most freeing thing ever.
I love it. I mean, I'm so excited about it, and I felt so relieved after I finished it, and it's just like, wow, I did that, and I thank God for the whole journey. I have four anthologies that I'm going to be a part of this year as well. Like I said, and I'm starting my own candle line.
You're just a little Miss Entrepreneur. Good for you.
Becoming her essentials, because us women, again, everything that I do is about the woman loving herself, because I hated myself. I literally hated myself. I hated what I saw, everything. And but now I love myself unconditionally. And loving yourself unconditionally just sets the tone for everything else. I don't need validation from anyone. I don't care if you like me or you don't like me. That doesn't waver how I feel, And so it's like my thing is I always want to be able to help someone. And if it's even just lighting a candle that's called calming the storm, because after a long day, you come home, you got to be mother, wife, daughter, sister, everything else. So it's like your clock never stops. You clock out at work, clock in at home. So that candle's for you just to light it, get your warm bath, and just get your self-care time in. Just relax. That's what that's for. I always want a woman to be able to take care of herself. I don't care if you get 30 minutes, an hour, 2 hours, whatever, that's just for you. No phone on, nothing. Even if you want a glass of wine, just to get your thoughts together. Because when we go, we never take time for us. And that's how we become broken, miserable. And then we turn into a hurt person. And now you're hurting other people because you ain't took time for yourself. And you're frustrated. And you want everybody around you to know that you're frustrated when nobody's paying attention. And now you're mad, feeling like you don't belong. And now you're lashing out.
Exactly.
But you got to take that time. And it's okay to say, guess what? I'm taking an hour to myself. Y'all, I don't want you to call me none, because I deserve that time. And it's okay for us to ask for that and not feel like we're neglecting our families because we want to take an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours just to ourselves. Have dinner with yourself. Get to know yourself. Get your voice back. And know that it's okay to have that.
Well, I want to say thank you so much. And everything that Tarana has mentioned, like I said, in this podcast, it's all going to be in the notes. So if you want to know about her makeup line, everything, it's going to be in there. And Tarana, thank you so much. You're
Thank you. I'm
amazing.
so,
I absolutely
so
loved it. And I want to thank you for being on
grateful.
my journey. So thank you so much.
Thank you. I appreciate you. And I'm so, your journey is such an inspiration. And I love what you're doing. I just want you to keep going, keep going, keep going, keep going.
I want to say thank you for sharing this time with me. And don't forget to subscribe so you receive every episode. And please share this podcast with others. Follow me on Facebook and Instagram. And if you would like more information on my mindset and manifesting coaching, go to shannonmondor.com. Until next episode, Blessings to all, and thank you for being a part of my journey.